Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diary. Happy Friday. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today on the show. Surprise, surprise, another wild night in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll break down both games that happened down on the ice, and we will wonder the question, what's going on with the Boston Celtics as we take a look at the NBA picture. There's some boxing, UFC, and WWE coverage on part two of the show today. Part one, focusing all on the NHL and NBA. Let's start with the ice. So, the New York Rangers have a stranglehold on their series with the Carolina Hurricanes, even though they have outplayed the Hurricanes in exactly maybe one of those games. A 3-0 series lead after another overtime win. This one, quite a bit quicker than the first one. And this is absolute heartbreak for the Carolina Hurricanes. They were the better team in this hockey game by a lot. And I thought they really controlled a lot of the play in both ends of the ice. Now, it was only in one end of the ice for a lot of it because of how well they controlled it. An excellent, excellent performance from this Carolina Hurricanes team. And one that is obviously not rewarded because they couldn't beat Igor Shesterkin. And it was kind of the same problem they had at the back part of game two that kind of bled over here into game three. I thought once again, Carolina did not make life difficult enough for the Rangers goaltender and for one of the best goalies on the earth. You're not going to beat this guy from distance. You're going to have a bunch of dudes in front, and it's going to have to hit probably off of at least one of them for it to get past this guy. And I just don't think they did that enough. And even that goal that they score to end it, or to tie the game, sorry, it's a point shot that ends up deflecting off of a guy. And then the Rangers had a couple cracks at clearing it and just whiffed, and Shevchenko was there and put it away. And we'll talk about him in a little bit here, but this was a Hurricanes team that absolutely worked their asses off and played such a great game. It just that last little detail of getting someone in front of Shesterkin, getting some traffic in front of that goal, just didn't get them to that finish line. And I think that's what ended up costing them in this one. And I thought they did a really great job defensively. So we're critiquing the offense, but looking at the defensive side of things, I thought they did a really good job of limiting the Rangers' opportunities that they had. And New York had a really difficult time getting anything set up offensively. That defensive play from the Carolina Hurricanes continues to be really, really impressive for this group. But look, man, the Rangers survived. Shesterkin was excellent again. He was the reason why they won this game. There were so many chances. And look, I'm talking about Carolina didn't make life difficult on him. It was still kind of difficult. He had to make, 45 saves in this game, 47 saves. So yeah, he still had to do a lot. And he made some really, really big saves. But he is just always in the right spot. He has such a great awareness and is obviously athletic enough to be able to get himself into all of those positions. And he really stole this game. And then they were able to kind of grind their way through and come up with big moments at big times and come away with the victory. And like they had a couple players step up, but I thought the player who stepped up most in this game back on the Carolina side was Svechnikov. He was a force in this game, and he really did. That goal that he scores late in the end of regulation really felt like he was rewarded for the effort that he put in this game. He was leading the play physically. He was creating offensively. He was dangerous every time he was on the ice, whether it was for a scoring opportunity or crashing into somebody with great velocity and ferocity, but with great power. He was crashing into guys. I thought he was the guy who really set the tone for the Hurricanes in this one. I thought Aho was a little bit quiet in this game. And a few guys were. Like, Teravainen, I thought was a little bit quiet as well. But Svechnikov was really the guy who I thought stepped up in a big-time way and really deserved that goal at the end. And while we're handing out credit, credit goes to Kochetkov, who comes in fill-in duty just to give Anderson a bit of a blow. And he comes in and made a couple of phenomenal saves. And you certainly can't put this one on him. But to come in that spot, and this is definitely new era NHL, Carolina needs this game and they still go to Kochetkov over Anderson after Anderson was brilliant in the Game 2 loss. That is a bold move from Rob Brind'Amour. It doesn't work out, but it's not because of the goalie. But I thought we needed to give at least a bit of credit to the netminder for the Carolina Hurricanes, who came up strong. But the one of the big things that shifted things in this hockey game was special teams, which is what we've talked about. But it was the penalty kill this time for the New York Rangers that ends up getting the job done. And it's Chris Kreider, who at a point I think was overrated, but he is now, I think, still one of the more underrated players in the National Hockey League, where you talk about the Rangers, you talk about Shesterkin, you talk about Fox, who's been kind of quiet in this series. You talk about Panarin, you talk about Zibanejad, and, you know, O.N. Kreider has been there for a while. He's that guy as well. But he was everything on this play. He makes a hit on Aho that, A, breaks Aho's stick, B, knocks him off of the puck, so that, C, they could start it back up ice, and then he outskates everybody and gets to the front of the goal. A great feed by Zibanejad, a perfect finish from Kreider, and the Rangers get on the board when they really didn't have a whole lot going on. And this penalty kill has absolutely shut down Carolina in this series. And they, like, Carolina's penalty kill has been really good, actually, against this very good Rangers power play. But the Rangers penalty kill has been just as effective. They almost got another one. I think it was Trocheck had a breakaway on that same power play that they scored shorthanded on. This power play is, this penalty kill is dangerous. And the Rangers continue to win those little battles, right? It's the special teams battle that gives them a bit of an edge. It's this is a weird battle, but the traffic in front battle that they end up getting. It's just those little things that they do that continue to get them to winning these games, and now has them in a 3-0 series lead. And things get better for them as Philip Hedel comes back in the lineup. And I thought he looked fine. Like, he was quiet in the first period as he was kind of getting his legs back under him, but he has a filthy dangle in the third period, and he and Kako were right back to where they started with a pretty good cycle game going. And so if you can get that line going one more time, Lafreniere is starting to look like a first overall pick. He is really starting to click here, and you get another goal in this one where he just hammered that puck into the goal. And so, like I said, like, there's been a lot of focus on Panarin, and he has been a little bit quiet. Zibanejad has been able to get going most of it, 5-on-4, but he's been able to get going a little bit. But it's been these depth pieces, Cooley coming up with big plays in Game 2, VC, and that forecheck has helped things out. And now it's Hedel and Kako creating some opportunities, Lafreniere getting a goal. It has been the depth pieces for the Rangers that have allowed them to hang around in these games and eventually come away with wins. But again, the moral of this is just devastating for Carolina, because they have been the better team in certainly two of these three games and deserve a significantly better fate. And look, the way they are playing, they could rattle off four wins in a row, and I don't think anyone would blink an eye. It would be rather noteworthy, but they are playing some exceptional hockey just until it comes to beating the best goalie in the world, who is on an absolute heater right now in Igor Shesterkin. So we'll see what Carolina is able to do to bounce back. I would imagine that there is quite an effort coming from them coming in game four, but if this was it, if this was all they had, I don't think anyone can blame them, because they have poured their heart into, what was it, 5 periods in game two, and now 3 in a couple minutes in game three. They have given it everything they have, and to come away from that with nothing is really difficult to come away from. Out west, it was the Dallas Stars with a win over the Colorado Avalanche, and this game wasn't close until it was, but the Dallas Stars end up putting it away. But holy smokes, there had to be some clenched whatevers in that arena as Colorado went from being down 4-0 to down 4-3 with a couple minutes left, and the goalie pulled, and Nathan MacKinnon out on the ice doing Nathan MacKinnon-y things. That had to just be, like, could you imagine blowing 7 goals worth of leads in 2 games? But Dallas is able to survive, and they are able to hang on. But this just shows, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you can't take your foot off the gas pedal for a second, because Dallas goes up 4, and they kind of back off a little bit, and Colorado gets that much room, and they're just gone. And they were able to get their way back into this one. So a lesson learned for a Dallas Stars team that has quite a few veterans on this squad, but a lot of young players in the lineup as well. And I think they kind of learned their lesson. But the man who was at the front of the charge initially that led them to being able to take their foot off the gas was Miro Heiskanen, who was everything this team needed in this game. It is unbelievable how he is always in the right spot. And Tanev, being his defensive partner a lot of times, really allows him to freelance out there, but he knows where he is supposed to be always. And he is fast enough to get there, and he is skilled enough to be able to make the right play once he gets there. And that's both offensively and defensively. There were times where Colorado's trying to get that rush going, and he either takes the right angle to force it into the wall and create a turnover, or just be confident enough in his skating and confident enough in his partner that he is able to go up, make a play, and send it back the other way. That's where Dallas really, I thought, shined in this game, was cutting off the Colorado rush, especially in the neutral zone, and really, pardon the pun, but really neutralizing Colorado's offense and their ability to get things going off of the rush. They just shut a lot of that down and sent it back the other way. But it wasn't just defensively. Heiskanen, along with Hintz, on the, I believe it was the 2-0 goal. Either way, I think it was the first goal he scored of the night, where there is a pass in front. Two Colorado defenders are there with the puck, but it is Hintz battling, and Heiskanen is in there as well, and he is working for it. And then the puck comes out. Colorado can't clear. Dallas gets possession. Heiskanen drifts from the slot over into the one-timer position, the OV spot, but just reversed. And takes a bullet of a feed from Hintz and hammers it almost through the net. If that was Wayne Gretzky 3D Hockey 98, the net would have come flying off. Like, he just annihilated that shot. But again, it is that awareness, it is the reads, and then it is the talent to be able to take advantage of all of it. He really is the complete package. And again, classic radio trope, I don't think we talk enough about how damn good that dude is on the Dallas Stars. And if anyone was able to get by him, Ottinger was tremendous. Both goalies really were, which is a weird thing to say in a game where 8 goals were scored and 7 of them have goalies in the net. But both goalies, I thought, were really, really good. But Ottinger just made some unbelievable saves, and saves that you were not expecting him to make, and he was just standing tall, and Colorado had some chances to break through, and every time he was there to shut the door, and that allowed Dallas to be able to get their offense going, to really be able to get that ball rolling downhill. And Ottinger was, I thought, one of the stars of the game, even though, again, eventually 3 goals get past him. He was excellent for the Dallas Stars. But like, truthfully, this was a team effort. Like, the Duchesne line was really, really good in generating a lot of offensive zone time and creating their opportunities. And again, it was a full team effort going up against Nathan MacKinnon. It was an ozone faceoff, and they put the Dallas fourth line out there against MacKinnon. And MacKinnon had a few seconds in the offensive zone that ended up being dangerous. It was toward the end of the shift. But for the most part, they made MacKinnon defend. And MacKinnon still looked dangerous in this game, but they did a good job of keeping Nathan MacKinnon in the defensive zone as much as possible and really making that line work and force them to create in ways that they are not necessarily used to. That there was not a lot of real extended shifts for that MacKinnon, Rantanen pairing in the offensive zone. They had some. For sure they had some. You're not going to just pitch a shutout against those guys. They are simply too good. But they did such a good job of making MacKinnon play 200 feet from his own net. I don't think they're going to be able to do that a whole lot in this series, but they did it really effectively in game two here. On the Colorado side, they were able to get back into this one, not because MacKinnon played so well, although again, he played fine, but it was the depth guys who came up. Kurivanta was obviously, Kurivana. No, I think that I had that right the first time. He was on a mission in this game, and the former Dallas Star was throwing his body around. He makes a strong play in front of the net and gets a goal. Colton made some good plays as well. You have Cogliano making a good play, setting up the 4-2 goal, and creating those opportunities. And then even Lekkonen, who is just, I'm not breaking any news here, but one of the better defensive forwards in the league. He is like one of the last guys back, and skating backwards and makes a smart play defensively. He ends up getting a goal, but it was the guys who brought the lunch pails who ended up coming up with big time games for the Avalanche to get them back to within striking distance where they weren't able to break through. So this was one of the rare times where it was the depth that was able to keep Colorado in this one and kept them moving forward. But this series is going to be an absolute battle. And I would say in this one, credit to the Stars for implementing their game plan and really executing it brilliantly. That is the story from the NHL. We'll have a quick basketball one because there's something I can't figure out. So, what's going on with the Boston Celtics? They fall in rather embarrassing fashion to the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 2 of their Eastern Conference semifinal. And the frustrating thing is, like, they keep doing this, but there's nothing actionable from this. Like, they play with their food last year against the Atlanta Hawks, and the series ends up going a little bit longer than it needed to. And, like, could you really make a logistical stretch and say, well, that cost them against the Miami Heat? Maybe, but yeah. And now tonight, like they kind of did the same thing in the first round, but not really. But like this one here, there's no way you should be losing to Cleveland at home. That just shouldn't be happening. And so every year they have these where they are favored significantly, and they come out and they're just like, yeah, whatever, make a bunch of shots, we'll be fine, we'll come back in this one. And like I said, there's nothing actionable about this. They're going to win this series. They're probably going to win the next series. And then they're probably going to be favored in the series after that, which, by the way, is the NBA Finals. So this is kind of just like yelling at these guys for no reason, because it's going to end up being fine. But you, like the Breaking Bad meme, like you can't keep getting away with this, because like this is not the killer instinct that a lot of people want to see from this group. And when they turn it on, it's insane. They are one of the more talented teams we have seen in the last 5-10 years in the NBA. And that's saying a whole lot, but I mean every word of it. I only started a little bit, but I meant it. This team, though, one of the things that people have kind of got on them for is that lack of a killer instinct. And that showed up tonight. They were dreadful. Like, you cannot keep putting out playoff efforts like that and expect to get away with it. And, like, you do that against Minnesota, you're going to lose by 100. Same thing goes for Denver. You're not going to have those games off. You would be better suited to go out there, sweep them in 4, and get more literal days off. But again, like, they're going to get away with it. It's going to be fine. It's just really, really frustrating to see a team take games off in the playoffs like this. On the Cleveland side, this has been a postseason that Donovan Mitchell needed in the worst way, because he was kind of starting to get a bit of a reputation as someone who you could target in the postseason and you'd be having a good time of it after the Knicks stole his lunch money in the playoffs last year, and after a really difficult time in the postseason in his final year in Utah. And with him due for a big payday in the next little while, he needed to shed that, I think, very quickly. And credit to him, he has performed well in this postseason. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Like I said, part 2 coming out later on today is going to be a Fightin' Friday. We're going to look at fights to make after UFC 301. We are going to look at fights to make after Canelo Munguia, and kind of fights to make after WWE Backlash, as we're going to book ahead to SummerSlam and see how I think the cards are going to stack up there. So that is what is coming up in part 2. Again, that's going to come out later on today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Remember to leave a review and subscribe if you're listening in podcast form. If you're watching, thank you. Make sure you like that. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, and leave a comment. Follow me on social media. I'm at PrimetimeKlein, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, twitch.tv/PrimetimePK. And you can email this show, CouchPotatoDiary@yahoo.com. Thank you guys so much. Talk to y'all later. I am out.
Balls. here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.